With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We've got a fun show today. We're going to be doing the listener mailbag at the second half of the show, and we've got some great questions. First, though, we're going to be talking about whether or not we buy or sell some big performances from the 2019 fantasy football season. Tags, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. I mean, it could be better. I've been sick over the last few days, but I'm getting over it, and I'm always well enough to do a podcast because, as you know, we're not doing as many of them, but the fact that we haven't done so many of them, it gives me a chance to like forget things from time to time. And I just wanted to say there were a few people that knew me from the podcast that came up to me at Disney. And I wanted to give a special shout out to Enrico. He came up with his girlfriend, wife. I'm not sure which one it was, but his lady friend. And they said hello, and they actually said happy birthday to my son. So I found that really personal. And I told him, I was like, I'm gonna give you a shout out in the podcast. And I totally forgot to do it. So Enrico, if you're listening, thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it.
That's really cool, man. I like that a lot. Hey, Tags, you know, I was listening back to one of our old podcasts just for like, you know, to audit our work and see what we need to improve, essentially. And I heard you like razz me twice, and I just completely ignored it during the podcast. I don't know if I was like thinking about the next thing I was going to say, but I'm on to you, man. Saying that pomegranates are disgusting and everything. Get out of here. Get out of here.
They're gross. I mean,
dude, it's like it tastes like candy, and it's good for you.
If we were able to take a poll on this, I promise you that more people would agree with me than you.
What do you mean if we're able? We're able to right now. I'm recording the podcast. If you guys are watching right now, by the way, we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. I'm just going to make the poll. I'm going to post it right now, and we'll see what people actually say, all right?
So what's the question actually going to be? Is it going to be, are pomegranates good?
What do you think about pomegranates? Great? Good? Never tried them? Or terrible? How's that?
Well, I'm going to go with terrible.
Because I don't want you to have like any excuses of when you lose this poll.
So basically you're going to get the really good ones, and I'm going to get the terrible ones. And the ones in the middle, we'll kind of leave those as is.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right, let's do it. Okay, so we're going to start the show by talking some buy or sell on guys that had breakout performances this year. Michael Thomas was so dang good, Tags. Now, obviously we know he's good, but is he this much better than the other wide receiver ones?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things up in the air right now. I mean, all three of the Saints quarterbacks are currently going to be unrestricted free agents, including Drew Brees, who might retire. So that's going to play into it. The Saints are, honestly, I've been going through, and I'm actually working on my first mock draft right now, and I have the Saints selecting a wide receiver in the first round. I have Jalen Reagor out of TCU. I feel like he could be like the Brandon Cooks of that offense, where Sean Payton would have so much fun with a player like that. So if they bring in another wide receiver, because Ted Ginn was toast, Tre'Quan Smith was dealing with some injuries at the beginning of the year, didn't really play a full complement of snaps towards the end of the year. I think Michael Thomas is going to be really good, and I think we saw that with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, is that he was able to remain consistent. Now, is he going to produce the way he did this year? No, it's very much an outlier performance when you break the record for receptions in a single season. So I do like Michael Thomas, but I'm also one of those guys that's not willing to draft him in the top five picks of the draft, because running backs are just going to be way too hard to come by.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about Michael Thomas a fair amount, and I do have him a little bit higher just because he was so great. If Drew Brees isn't there, I won't draft him at number three, which is where I've got him right now. I also just love Davante Adams, man. He was so good. He's my number two wide receiver. I know the same's true for you. Right now, we're expert consensus. We've only got 24 analysts. Usually we have over 100, but that'll happen as we get more and more information that we'll get more. But so far, 24 analysts have come together and said Tyreek Hill's our number two, DeAndre Hopkins number three, Davante Adams number four. That seems crazy to me.
Wow, Tyreek Hill number two? I mean, guys, I understand he gives you peak performances, but in the first round...
Yeah, I know he's Patrick Mahomes' guy, but like 50% of the time, he's not a wide receiver too.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. He's very boom or bust, and it's almost like you go back to the DeSean Jackson days. Yeah, you're getting some slightly bigger performances, sure, but I'm saying it's like that's the idea. And DeSean Jackson almost always finished like towards the bottom of the wide receiver ones, high-end wide receiver twos, because his boom performances were that big. And Tyreek Hill, that's why he's getting into that top six, top eight territory. But I can't see a scenario where Tyreek Hill finishes, you know, as a top three wide receiver, let alone number two.
All right, Tags, let's move on to Derrick Henry. Obviously, what he did in the playoffs was ridiculous, but it wasn't just the playoffs. It was the final 8 weeks of the regular season where he was on a historical pace. I don't know if he's going to be with the Titans next year, but if he is, can we expect this to keep up? Can he rush for 2,000 yards?
No.
I agree. I 100% agree. So where are you taking him?
I don't even know if he's going to be playing football in 2020. If he's really going to hold out and says that he
for $90 million, right?
Yeah, this is not hearsay. This is like a quote out of his mouth. He said that the Ezekiel Elliott contract is the floor for his contract. So he's talking like 6 years, $90 million, $50 million guaranteed as a floor. NFL teams aren't going to do it. The Cowboys were stupid to do it. And it's not to say that Ezekiel Elliott or Derrick Henry is a bad running back. It's just saying that you don't pay running backs that type of money. They could bring in someone like Jordan Howard. They can draft someone like Jonathan Taylor at the end of the first round, maybe even the second round, and be okay with a running back. It's not going to make that much of a difference. Even if he's with the Titans, let's pretend that they do sign him and that all remains status quo, that Ryan Tannehill comes back. I don't have Derrick Henry as a first round pick. And the reason I say that is because for a first-round pick, as I mentioned with Tyreek Hill, I want guys that are so consistent that you just stick in your lineup every single week and you know they're going to perform like a top 20 player. Derrick Henry, people are forgetting, over the first 9 games of the season, he did not record over 100 yards rushing. He was a guy that had a multiple single-digit games. His receiving floor is just too low in games where the Titans are going to fall behind. His receiving floor is way too low to draft someone like him in the first round. I'm not sitting here saying that he won't finish as a top six running back, because he can, but it's all about the consistency.
So you're taking Kamara, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones over him.
All those guys I would take over Derrick Henry, yes.
Me too. Yeah, what about Nick Chubb? Josh Jacobs.
That's where it depends, because Nick Chubb, it really all comes down to, is Kareem Hunt back with the Browns? And if he is back with the Browns, then yeah, I'll probably side with Derrick Henry in that. But if Kareem Hunt moves on and they're going to sit here with Dontrell Hilliard, whoever it is behind Nick Chubb, and he's going to be involved in the passing game again, I'm going to go Nick Chubb.
Tags, we have agreed on everything so far, and that's not very fun. Let's see if I can get you here. Okay? Chris Godwin, wide receiver 6 right now in terms of ECR. Again, you can find that at fantasypros.com/rankings. Chris Godwin was obviously the breakout wide receiver of the year. If Jameis Winston is not there, and by the way, how fun would it be if Jameis Winston went and paired up with Bill Belichick in New England? Like, would he be amazing, or would it just be a disaster?
Belichick would not be able to live with someone like Jameis Winston.
I think he could make him a superstar.
He would shoot him. I'm pretty sure that Belichick would shoot him.
I don't know, man. Winston could be amazing with Belichick. Obviously, he doesn't have Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, so maybe he's not actually that great, but he makes some really amazing passes. But anyway, if Winston is gone, what is Chris Godwin?
If Winston's gone, I think they're going to go after someone like Philip Rivers. I think that's actually going to happen, because there's no other logical. I don't think Bruce Arians came out of retirement to start a rookie quarterback.
So not like Teddy Bridgewater. That wouldn't work for you?
I guess you could see a situation with that, but I think it's a really good question. I haven't really thought about the Bucs, because I've almost just played it off as if they're going to have Jameis Winston. I think that he's going to be back with the team. But Chris Godwin, like this all circles back around to Chris Godwin, and that's who we're talking about. Godwin is someone that, yes, I am willing to invest in, and I do believe that he is a wide receiver one in 2020. And the reason I say that is someone posted a heat chart basically on the routes that he's run under Bruce Arians, and then they posted the same exact like chart, that heat map, with Larry Fitzgerald. They are being used the exact same, and Larry Fitzgerald had some massive, massive years under Bruce Arians. So it's like, when you see him played like that, it's Mike Evans is the player that you should really be worried about, because he's someone over the course of his career, he's relied on significant volume. So if we see some of those pass attempts dialed back, it's not going to be Chris Godwin that's losing them. It's going to be Mike Evans. So I'm going to say that Chris Godwin does deserve to be in that wide receiver one territory and is a legitimate second round pick.
Okay, so we've got Chris Godwin, wide receiver 6, Mike Evans, wide receiver 7. Now, here's another breakout wide receiver, and he didn't even have his first or second string quarterback a lot of the year. Kenny Golladay, do you buy or sell him as a top 10 fantasy receiver in 2020?
I'm going to go ahead and sell. Kenny Golladay is a top 12 guy. I mean, I like him as a player, but Marvin Jones is still going to be on this team for at least one more year. Danny Amendola is a guy, when he was healthy, he was actually getting targets. Matthew Stafford does spread the ball around quite a bit. Like, you're going to see games where Golladay goes off. You're going to see games where Marvin Jones goes off, and you're going to see TJ Hockenson.
Maybe TJ Hockenson takes a big step forward, or Kerryon Johnson comes back and he's good, or they draft a running back.
Exactly. People think that they're going to draft a running back. I'm not one of those.
Maybe this is a spot for Melvin Gordon. I don't know.
I think that Kerryon is the running back they want him to be. It's just been unfortunate with his injuries. They can add a running back in like the fourth, fifth round. That would make some sense. There's plenty of running backs in this class that can like deliver like usable like performances in the fourth, fifth round. So I could see them doing that. But this is a team that's going to build their defense. Like in my mock draft that you're going to see, the Lions, I have them going defense like really heavy in the first two rounds. And I think it's just like slowing the game down a little bit. Matthew Stafford, obviously getting him back in the lineup. But Golladay is a guy I like, but he's not someone who's going to deliver wide receiver one numbers more often than not. So he's in that wide receiver two territory as someone like, if you get him in like the third round, that's probably where I'd feel comfortable with someone like him as like a mid to high end wide receiver two. But I just don't have all that much faith in the Lions offense overall.
He's number 23 ECR right now. So end of the second, early third round. I'm not going to have any shares of Kenny Golladay if that's the price. Let's move on to another player who had a big breakout season. And some people saw this coming, but I don't think anyone would have predicted him accomplishing what he did if they knew he was going to play 35-40% of the snaps. Mark Andrews, buy him or sell him. Is he the real deal?
Oh, I'm buying. He's the guy, like, whenever he's on the field, yes, he's only playing, like, you know, he's playing half the snaps, a little bit less than half the snaps, but when he's on the field...
Is that why he was good, is because his legs were fresh? Or do you think that if he plays 80-85% of the snaps, like a Travis Kelce, George Kittle, he could be the number one fantasy tight end?
Well, having him on the field that much wouldn't even make all that much sense because he's not really a blocker. He's not a very good blocker. He's a guy that's a receiver, and we kind of knew that out of college, coming out of Oklahoma. He was someone that reminded me a lot of Jason Witten. And he's just like, I think what people are forgetting about Mark Andrews, what's so impressive is that he's doing this at such a young age. Like, he's a young guy. It was only his second year in the NFL. He catches 64 passes for 852 yards and leads all tight ends in touchdowns with 10 of them, despite playing those limited snaps. When he's on the field, he's being targeted. Now, is there going to be regression in the touchdown department? Yes, he's not going to score once every, you know, nine targets or whatever it was that he scored. You're going to see Marquise Brown take a step forward. You might see Miles Boykin get on the field a little bit more. Hayden Hurst is actually a tight end that they like quite a bit, and he's not bad in his own right, but Mark Andrews is their top tier, you know, receiving tight end. So I'm buying, but I'm not buying him if you're going to buy him at, like, you know, the number three tight end overall. Or I would take Darren Waller over someone like him.
Yeah, I don't have Mark Andrews in my top three tight ends. Now, he is ranked in the top three tight ends, number 27 overall. That's way too steep for me.
Way too expensive.
Yeah. I mean, there's six or seven tight ends I wouldn't mind having so much.
What round would you feel comfortable taking someone like?
Mark Andrews, fifth or sixth round, maybe. Sixth round, probably. He's not going to fall there.
I think if it's like late fourth, early fifth, almost where how I felt about O.J. Howard last year. And granted, that was one where I completely whiffed on. And you know, I'm willing to admit that I missed on O.J. Howard last year, but I'm still, like, he's someone, like, in dynasty formats, I'm still going to buy O.J. Howard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, still the all-time leader in yards per target. And, you know, does an offseason with Bruce Arians, maybe they clear up some of the things that, you know, the disconnect that they've had, because clearly that's a bad relationship, but...
They didn't trade him.
Yeah, there were trade offers for him. The Patriots admitted we were trying to trade for him, and the Bucs were unwilling to move on, which tells me they really do want him to be part of that offense.
I agree with that. And, you know, with Mark Andrews, Tags, I'd rather have Zach Ertz. You mentioned Darren Waller. Yeah, I think I'd probably rather have him. Austin Hooper? I think I'd rather have him than Mark Andrews. I think Mark Andrews is my tight end six, Tags.
Austin Hooper's another guy that we should probably talk about. You know, do you believe what happened? No, I don't necessarily believe what happened because I don't Matt Ryan, in terms of like what the Falcons did offensively, it all comes back to that defense performing so badly and needing so many pass attempts. And we saw Austin Hooper kind of decline as the year went on. Austin Hooper's a free agent. We don't even know if the Falcons are going to bring him back. We don't know what's happening with him. If he goes elsewhere, it's going to be very difficult for him to just walk into production because there's not a whole lot of spots where it's like, oh, there's an elite quarterback who's missing an elite tight end. Plug him in there. I don't think Austin Hooper is an elite player. I think guys like Darren Waller can be like a difference maker. Kittle, Kelsey.
You think he's kind of part of the system like Jared Cook was when he was in Oakland?
Yeah, kind of that way. And he benefits obviously from Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, you know, being out there running routes and, you know, taking the top off the defense. So Hooper is, he's kind of like in that Jared Cook conversation for me, where it's like you want them because of the offense they're in. But if they're not in that offense anymore, I don't know if I'm very interested.
By the way, Falcons are probably letting Devontae Freeman go. They're in the market for a running back. And if they get one of these guys, like a DeAndre Swift or J.K. Dobbins, maybe they go out and get a Melvin Gordon or a Derrick Henry. This could be an elite landing spot for a running back.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if they land Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round at pick 47, like I'm close to that spot in my mock right now. So I think the Bucks are a team that could look at him at 45. But
I don't think they're spending a first or second on a running back, man. Bruce Arians does not spend on running backs at all.
Well, it's not necessarily even on Bruce Arians. It's more about like the front office and what they've done. Like Ronald Jones and now Peyton Barber's a free agent. Like, are they going to put Dare Ogunbowale out there again as like the pass down back? They can't do that. So,
I mean, maybe they could go out and get David Johnson if the Cardinals are cutting him.
Yeah, and some people have suggested that it's going to cost them more money to cut David Johnson than to have him on the roster. So I don't see the logic in it, but they have cap room. So I guess they can do it. But if the Falcons were to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the second round, I will tell you he will be my number one dynasty running back.
Oh, baby.
I would take him over DeAndre Swift because Swift is likely. I have him to the Dolphins at 26. And then you have guys like, you're going to wonder where's the landing spot's going to matter. Like Jonathan Taylor, if he goes to the Titans, if he goes to the Texans, like there's some places that he definitely can produce. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that guy's a difference maker, and I like him quite a bit.
I like to hear you say that, man. It's fun to have differing takes in NFL draft season because everybody sees the game a different way. I've got him as my RB4 or 5. He's good. I don't love him quite as much as you do, but it'll be fun to talk about as we keep going. Now, Tex, I want to talk about Pristine Auction. What's the last helmet you got? Because I know you've got like, what are you, 15, 16 helmets that you're collecting?
Yeah, I think I have 15 now. Alvin Kamara. I got an Alvin Kamara. It's a matte black Saints helmet. That is just so, like, I don't even care that Kamara's coming off maybe like a not so great season, but I just looked over and I see that helmet and I think like, that is so awesome. Like, I love the helmet.
I like to look for those values on guys that kind of have a down season and it's like, okay, well, I can get this guy a lot cheaper now. Next year, it would be worth double the price, but I'm getting it right now. You can always find good values on Pristine Auction, and everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. So here's what I want you to do, okay? Go to pristineauction.com and sign up. Hit the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. It's free to sign up, and that's going to give you $5 off to spend at Pristine Auction. You're guaranteed to find something you love for your cave. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. All right, Tags, let's keep moving on here. Austin Eckler. Okay, let's say Melvin Gordon moves on, and I think that's the most likely scenario here. So Melvin Gordon moves on. They don't draft a running back in the first two rounds. Austin Eckler is the starting running back going into week one. Right now, he's the RB15 because of the speculation about what could happen with Gordon. How high does he get, and are you buying him or selling him as someone who can excel in this offense without Phillip Rivers?
I'm going to sell him at the prices that people are going to pay because I've heard people talking about that he's a top 10 running back. If we do see like Melvin Gordon move on, this comes down to...
He was a top 10 running back.
He absolutely was, but Phillip Rivers also checked down to him an awful lot. Like his 993 receiving yards.
Yeah, because I think his shoulder was hurt or something because he just could not throw the ball down. Elbow, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what it was with Rivers. That guy plays through injuries. Like, you can never tell with him. Like, he might be on the decline of his career. And that's why it's like, it's so odd for me to hear that the Chargers might be pursuing Tom Brady. It doesn't really make any sense to me. It's like you're getting another aging quarterback that's going to be learning a new offense. If Tom Brady goes there, sure. Yeah, I'll buy Eckler because Tom Brady uses his running backs quite a bit. But if Tyrod Taylor takes over, they're not going to be dropping back to pass a whole lot. It's going to be like a run first offense.
What about Tua as a rookie?
Yeah, it could be a rookie, and I'm guessing it's going to be Justin Herbert. It just seems like that's where the stars align. But again, free agency is going to change a lot of it. But knowing like that receiving work is going to come down a bit. Like, I can't imagine we're going to see him get 108 targets again, you know, and rack up the most fantasy points ever by a running back in the passing game. So there's regression in the touchdown department. So Eckler, if Gordon's gone, Rivers is...
He was the number three running back when Gordon was gone. Number three behind McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that Eckler would be probably around my RB12 territory. Like, I'm still going to say that he's probably a low-end RB1.
Because there's still some risk. Like, we don't know if he can handle a full season workhorse workload. And we know that Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, Todd Gurley can.
For sure. Yeah, and... I mean, Justin Jackson, does he get a bigger role? Because Justin Jackson might walk.
Justin Jackson's better than Austin Eckler.
I don't want to say that.
He is amazing, man.
Justin Jackson might walk into the Melvin Gordon role, and all of a sudden you're going to see Eckler in the same type of role, and then that's not going to be worth a top 10 selection without Phillip Rivers there.
Right. But, I mean, this is why we were hesitant about Aaron Jones, right? What if they just give the ball to Jamal Williams?
Mm-hmm. And that happened quite a bit too much at the beginning of the season.
Well, it did happen, but Aaron Jones still finishes the RB2, so maybe Eckler still has a really big season, even if... We're worried about Justin Jackson. He's going to be an interesting one, man. I can't make up my mind on whether or not I'm buying or selling Austin Eckler if Melvin Gordon's gone.
He's a high floor player. I don't think he's going to cost you your league, but I also don't think he's probably... I don't think he's going to win you your league, though.
I would agree with that. Yep, I would agree with that. Okay, Courtland Sutton. This was somebody who broke out. Now he's got Drew Locke. Is Courtland Sutton a legitimate wide receiver one?
No, not a wide receiver one. To be in that territory, and like this is a stat I haven't gotten a chance to look to yet this offseason. I will, as the offseason goes on, dive into some of this stuff. But I know that in 2018, I think it was the top 17 wide receivers in fantasy were all part of like top 15 scoring offenses. The Broncos will not be there. They won't. I don't really care who's starting. If it's Flacco, if it's Locke, doesn't matter. They're not going to be a top 15 scoring offense. They want to be a defense first team under Vic Fangio, and that's going to continue. I love what I saw from Sutton this year. I wasn't someone that was willing to buy him at all last year, but based on what I saw, I mean, it was almost like he saved a lot of touchdowns in terms of like where the ball placement was and who would have caught it, who wouldn't have caught it. He still only ended up as the number 19 wide receiver in a bad year for wide receivers. Like, I don't think people realize this was a horrible year for top-end wide receivers. Outside of Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin didn't even play the final two games and finished as the number two fantasy wide receiver. So it was a down year for receivers. So number 19 this year would have been, you know, maybe number 25 the year before. So I know he's a wide receiver two and one that has some upside, but he's not someone that I'm willing to rely on for wide receiver one production.
When Sutton was drafted, Tags, I said, this is Alshon Jeffrey 2.0. And Alshon Jeffrey 1.0 was a high-end wide receiver too, the ceiling in his career. I think that's who Sutton is, and Drew Locke at the very best. I don't think he's going to be better than Jay Cutler, do you?
No, I don't.
And Jay Cutler wasn't great. I mean, what was he? Maybe a top 12 quarterback at the height of his career?
The height, yeah, probably 15, right around there.
Yeah, probably about 15. I could see Drew Locke getting there. He looked impressive in spurts, but he doesn't have the talent of Jay Cutler. I think Denver's going to go out and get another wide receiver in this draft class now that Emmanuel Sanders is gone. There's a lot of wide receivers to get. I think Sutton is going to be a mid-range wide receiver too, and so I probably won't get many shares. But then again, I missed out on last year, and I'm hurting because of it.
Yep. But it's a different price tag this year.
Yes, it is. It's a big-time different price tag. All right. Somebody else that I'm actually excited about quite a bit, Kenyon Drake, man, was awesome in Arizona. Buy or sell, Tags?
Depends on his landing spot. He's an unrestricted free agent, so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with him.
He's going back to Arizona, right? They have to have him.
It depends. I mean, if they do, then they have to, like, they're going to snip David Johnson then, right? Because, like, why would you have them both stick around? It doesn't really make that much sense.
Well, because running backs get hurt 35% of the time. If Kenyon Drake gets hurt, okay, you've got David Johnson.
But did they learn their lesson that running backs, like, in terms of, like, the giving David Johnson the big contract, you know, before the season started because he wanted it, and then all of a sudden now they're regretting that and they're thinking about cutting that contract. Did they give another big contract? Because Kenyon Drake...
I don't think he's going to get a big contract, though, is he?
This is his last contract that he's going to get. I mean, running backs just don't get, like three deals anymore. You know, you have your rookie contract and you're lucky to get that second one. Kenyon Drake fortunately has limited miles on his tires because Adam Gase refused to use him. That's where he's going to get this. He has to cash in now. This is where Kenyon Drake has to make his money. And the Cardinals have plenty of space, so they can make it happen. If I see him back in Arizona, he's a top 15 running back for sure. It's just a matter of how high I'm going to put him based on what else they do. You know, do they keep David Johnson? Because if David Johnson stays there, they're going to use him in some way, maybe as a slot receiver. But knowing that Larry Fitzgerald...
Oh, that'd be sweet.
It would, but Larry Fitzgerald coming back kind of ruined that for me because I started thinking like, okay, Fitzgerald's going to retire.
Well, they play double slots, man. You put Fitz in one slot, David Johnson in the other slot.
Well, I would love to see Christian Kirk there on the other side of that.
And then you get Christian Kirk on the outside, CeeDee Lamb on the other outside.
They cannot. You know what? It's funny. I I know this is total draft talk, but there's no way the Cardinals can go with a wide receiver at number 8 pick. I can't. They have too many holes in that offensive line, too many holes on defense.
I think they're getting Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, I actually have them going Jedrick Wills there from Alabama, the offensive tackle. But, I mean, that can change depending on who's rising, lowering on boards. But they have to go offensive line with that pick.
There's 4 really good offensive tackles in this draft. And then after that, it is crap.
It's not great after that top tier. It's a weak interior class, but there's so many teams. This is the part, like...
Oh, I don't think so, man. See, I every single class, it's always a weak interior tier.
Well, that's the thing, is nobody wants to play offensive line anymore. And that's why it's like, when I go through teams and I look at the positions of need that they have, I'm like, oh, they need a tackle, they need a guard. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, why don't teams invest more capital in their offensive lines? And I understand that, you know, it's like they feel like... It's just, it's not a sexy pick. I get it. But protecting that quarterback, like, that's the reason I don't think the Dolphins should be selecting a quarterback in this draft. They have legitimate, on their offensive line.
Whoever they select is going to get killed if they don't go out and hire, like, 4 starting offensive linemen.
Yeah, and you're going to ruin the kid's confidence, and then there's a butterfly effect that goes through the whole thing. So building an offensive line is extremely important, and I don't know why teams don't invest more into guys that are top-tier talents. Like Andrew Thomas, I've seen some people mocking him down at like 10 or 12, and I'm like, no, he's going to go before that. He'd better, but... We'll see.
I think he's the 4th best offensive tackle on the board, man.
I have him at number 1. I mean, so that's the thing. That's with me. Like, I remember arguing with people about Mike McGlinchey, saying that I was like, he should be a top 10 pick. And everybody's like, no, he's like late 1st, maybe 2nd. And I'm like, and then we see the 49ers take him inside the top 10. And I thought it was a great pick. And he's worked out for them. But, and that's what I'm saying, is like, you have to... I think games are won most of the time inside the trenches. Your quarterback obviously matters, but getting it done in the trenches, that's where it matters most. And it blows my mind that more teams don't spend equity on like top-tier offensive linemen.
All right, man, here's a crazy one. Cooper Kupp was so good in the first half. So bad in the second half. Who is he, Tags? Are you buying or selling Cooper Kupp?
I give up on that offense in general. Like, I don't think anybody can like say with any degree of certainty what's going to happen. Like, you break down the entire team and you're like, Todd Gurley, does he bounce back? Because we've seen him be elite before. Now with the full season, like, his knee looked fine. Towards the end of the year, he looked like, I don't want to say the old Todd Gurley, but he looked decent. And then you have Brandon Cooks, who is non-existent in the offense. Like,
disappeared. Disappeared.
He's going outside the top 45 wide receivers now, and that's just crazy to me.
I mean, he's got some upside, but he was nothing, man. And their offensive line is trash now.
Yeah, and Whitworth is now a free agent. He was probably going to retire anyway, so it's like that. There's holes. They traded away draft picks to get Jalen Ramsey. I really don't know what's going to happen here. Robert Woods is a guy that's been producing. He's been getting targets. He's consistent. Not really a touchdown scorer. You have Gerald Everett, who was coming on, and then all of a sudden Tyler Higbee's like the top tight end in football.
Right.
And the part where it's going to be so difficult to gauge is because Sean McVay's a smart guy, and he's willing to change whatever he's doing in order to adapt to the game around him. And that's why I don't want to say this for sure, that for sure, because I think he's going to change the offense this offseason. I don't think anybody knows what we're going to see in 2020 out of these Rams.
I would agree with that, man. I don't know. They don't have any money to spend. They don't have any draft capital. They have a lot of holes. This team is not looking good for the future, man.
No, people talk about Trubisky and the Bears needing to move on. The Rams are in a difficult spot, too, because that Goff contract, that Gurley contract, the trading of draft picks, they were essentially saying that they were all in to win, and they didn't even make the playoffs. So I don't know, man. There's definitely holes in that team, and now missing draft picks, it's not going to help. But they got to get Brandon Cooks back in that offense. I mean... That's part of it.
Let's go DJ Chark here.
So you're a Jags fan. What do you think about people saying that they expect them to draft a wide receiver? I don't see it. Not
why? Why would you do that? You have so many other holes, and you've got some quality wide receivers.
I think it's because people are trying to make the argument that you have DJ Chark and Chris Conley, who are both field stretchers. They're guys that can accept some more targets, but you don't really have that prototypical number one receiver. Chark stepped up in a lot of ways, but I think once teams like identified him as the number one wide receiver, you saw his numbers suffer a little bit. I liked him. He's a better player than I thought he'd be when he came into the NFL. I thought that they reached on him in the second round, but he looked solid. But I think he's best suited as a number two, as like a field stretcher that can play that number one role if need be. But that's another team where I just think that there's too many holes. Like at cornerback, trading away Ramsey, it left a big void. Their offensive line, they could use an interior lineman.
You think Okuda could slip to him, man? Or Simmons? If either of those guys slipped to him, I'd be doing cartwheels.
No, there is no... Well, I could see Okuda slipping just because cornerbacks don't typically go that high. But Simmons, I actually think Simmons is going to go number 3. Isaiah Simmons is going to continue to move up draft boards. It blows my mind that people think that he could fall that far. He's the best athlete in this draft. Like,
when I did my first mock, like, 3 months ago, everyone had him outside their top 15. I was like, this is the dude, man. He is flying up boards.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I actually enjoyed watching him play during the film sessions I did on him. And that's rare with a linebacker to see that. But he's such a versatile player, can play anywhere in the field.
Yeah, you think he's a linebacker, man? I think he's a safety.
Well, some people are going to label him as that, but I think he's better suited as like a sideline to sideline linebacker. He can play safety if you want him to. He could play cornerback. Hell, like he could cover a big wide receiver and run with him. And I think the combine.
You said cornerback or quarterback?
Corner.
Because I'm pretty sure he could do both.
Well, yeah, probably both. But no, selfish. I put that at the end of my notes on him. I said, selfishly, I wish that Isaiah Simmons was a wide receiver because he's just so fun, like athletically to watch.
Yeah, he is a blast. He's like a very good version of Mark Barron, who's a good player. But I'm saying Simmons, like this dude could be a Hall of Famer. I don't want to put that in any rookie ever. But when I watch this kid play, he's phenomenal, man. But yeah.
Athletic ability, he's tops in this class.
Even if Judy falls to the Jags at 9, I'd be disappointed if they went that way just because they need other positions. Kinlaw is my hope. Maybe they trade back and get him.
Yeah, I had them Christian Fulton right now, the cornerback out of LSU.
Ooh, that's a little high for me. I would not be happy with that. But anyway, DJ Chark right now is wide receiver 26. This seems pretty low to me.
That is low. I would take him there all day unless something like drastically changes. Unless they get like a Jerry Jeudy. But I mean, Chark, getting him as a wide receiver 3, sign me up for that. Now,
Who would you rather have, him or Lockett, him or Kupp?
Right. I don't know if people are going to continue to believe that Lockett is like a guy that's going to like.
Lockett's 10 spots higher than him. And Lockett's the number 2 wide receiver in this offense.
Yes. I was going to say Metcalf could be the number 1 fantasy option on that team. And it would not shock me at all.
Oh, I didn't really even think it was a question. You actually think that most people would say Lockett is number 1?
I mean, look at the rankings right now. Like, what's the ranking on Lockett?
Oh, wow, you're right. Yeah, Lockett's ahead of Metcalf. That really shocks me, man.
Yeah, I think it's closer than people think. So, I mean,
oh,
yeah. But as of right now, DJ Chark is the clear-cut number 1 in Jacksonville.
I have got another guy. Okay, this doesn't really fit the description of the episode. Guys who had big seasons, do you buy it or sell it? Just in terms of the talent. Outside of Kansas City, what did you see in Kareem Hunt this year in Cleveland? If he goes to a different team, say Kareem Hunt goes to the Falcons, what would he be?
Yeah, he'd be a top 6 guy.
Top 6?
Yeah, he would be someone if he goes there and they cut Devonta Freeman, I'm not worried about Quadre Ellison. I'm not worried about Brian Hill. I'm not worried about anybody there.
He'd be the guy. We've seen him be the guy.
Yeah, if he were to go there, that would, off the charts. Because he's part of that's a top 10, maybe top 5 scoring offense in the NFL.
Agree.
And he's a tackle breaker. He's not going to just get what you block for him. And that's kind of what they have on the roster. Devonta Freeman was like a guy that was slippery to start his career, but the injuries have added up. He's not nearly as elusive as he used to be. So, yeah, if Kareem Hunt goes there, he's a pass catcher. He's a 3-down back. Absolutely, he'd be a first-round pick.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Tegs, let's go one more guy here. Deebo Samuel, what is he going to be? Is he the actual number 1 moving forward in San Francisco? Do you think it's Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be a free agent, and I don't know if they like pick that back up. I don't know what Emmanuel Sanders is going to do, if he's going to retire, because you saw him kind of wear down as the season went on. And even in the playoffs, he was almost like non-existent with the team. So, but the thing is, you can't take for granted the effect that he had on the opposing defense, right? Because Deebo Samuel, when he started to take off this year, it's when Emmanuel Sanders came to the team. So it's almost like Emmanuel Sanders was drawing that attention from opposing defense. And then you have Deebo Samuel as kind of like this guy that's a young kid. You didn't expect much out of him because he didn't do anything the first half of the season. And then they start using him running the ball. They just basically wanted to get the ball in his hands. And this could turn into a 120 target wide receiver with the way that they started using him down the stretch. Is like they wanted the ball in his hands as much as they possibly could. He was doing work after the catch. He was just I want to say he was right behind AJ Brown in terms of yards after contact this year. So
yes,
I do like him.
He's the wide receiver 35, Tad.
He finishes the wide receiver 29 this year. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense at all. If he's the wide receiver 35, he'll be the single player I have on the most of my teams.
Yeah, that's not, I can't see that staying where it's at. Like, who are some of the names that are ahead of him right now?
Okay, so Mike Williams, 34, Tyler Boyd, 33, Michael Gallup, John Brown, Jarvis Landry, Terry McLaurin, AJ Green, 28. What? I'll take an AJ Green, baby.
I will own AJ Green more than any other player if he's at 28.
Yeah, holy cow, man. I want to figure out who's dragging down these rankings and just like yell at them on Twitter, because what in the world?
Can someone explain to me why you would take Cortland Sutton over AJ Green? I mean, Cortland Sutton was a baller this year, but you have to take into consideration the situation, and Joe Burrow is now going to be the quarterback of the Bengals, and we saw guys like Auden Tate like producing just like Cortland Sutton was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Tags, can we just agree right now, okay? Every single team that you and I have and we're not in a league together, these will be our wide receivers. We'll get Odell Beckham, wide receiver 11, to be our number one. Okay, we'll get DJ Chark, wide receiver 26, to be our number three, because AJ Green, wide receiver 28, is going to be our number two. And then we'll go out and we'll get Deebo Samuel as our wide receiver four. We're set.
Yeah, I mean, if we could do that all day. And that allows us to grab running backs in the first two rounds, too.
Oh, man. I love this team. Let's go, baby.
Things are going to change as the offseason goes on. Odell Beckham, I cannot see like being at the top of the third round like he is right now. That's just crazy to me.
So, Tags, I got something in the mail the other day. I mentioned we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasybros. Our podcasts are on video on the YouTube channel. If you ever want to watch them, see what Tag's face looks like when I say something crazy. He makes a lot of good faces. It's a lot of fun. But anyways, I got this, okay? This is from Bespoke Post. And they send out a bunch of boxes every single month. You can pick which one you like. This is the refresh box. So I've got like all kinds of stuff to help me smell good, because you know what they say, the stereotype about fantasy analysts is that we're disgusting. Right? We just sit in our basement. We never shower and stuff. That's not the case, because I got Box of Awesome. I smell great. And they've got all kinds of boxes that you'll love. One of my favorites is the Swagger Box. They've got the Brew Box if you want to like brew your own alcoholic beverages. Some really cool stuff at Box of Awesome. This winter, start a new routine to upgrade your everyday life with a monthly Box of Awesome from Bespoke Post. Bespoke Post sends guys only the best stuff every month, from style and grooming goods to cooking tools and outdoor gear. Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life. I mentioned the Swagger one. I got the Refresh. That was the one that I was most excited about. So here's how it works, okay? You go to boxofawesome.com and you get started by taking a quiz. Your answer is going to help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. Guys, it's free to sign up and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Now, each box is only going to cost $45, but it has over $70 worth of gear inside. You can get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS, all one word, at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code FANTASYPROS for 20% off your first box. Tags, you ready to do a listener mailbag, man?
I am as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. I love the listener mailbag shows, man. They're a lot of fun, aren't they?
I just wish we had more time to do them in season. There's just so much content that we have to cram into the episodes, and we might be doing something about that this year.
Yeah, I think maybe we should do, what do you think, 10 podcasts next year?
Yeah, 10 a week. I will not be on all 10.
I mean, we've got four fantasy analysts, dude.
We do. We're going to make, that's what we should do. We should make Kyle and Dan do four themselves.
Dan does a baseball podcast literally all by himself. It's just him talking, and he's like the only person who could do it. He's amazing. He does it every single day during the season. And by the way, if you're a fantasy baseball fan and you're gearing up for your draft, I host the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. You can check that out. Tags isn't on that one. He came on once, and it was actually a blast because he didn't know anything about fantasy baseball. He was just asking me the questions, and it was really cool because like Tags was asking legitimate questions that a lot of people who are new to fantasy baseball would be asking. That was fun, man. We got to do that again sometime.
Oh, don't make me talk about baseball.
Okay, so Tags, you got three options, okay? Do you want to start with a football question, a food question, or a totally outside the box question?
Let's go with football first.
Football first, okay. This one is from Travis Sumter on Twitter. What are some good ways to keep people engaged in redraft leagues all season long, as it seems people seem to lose interest if they're starting 1-5 or 0-4? It's a great question, by the way. Every league struggles with this.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the thing is like, do you have a competitive league, or is it they just suck, basically? Is they drafted a crappy team. They know it. They didn't play the waiver wire like they should have. Because if it's someone like that, you're never going to get them to care about it because they don't care enough to actually go to the waiver wire and pick up players. You can draft bad, have injuries and things like that, but typically that allows you to go to the waiver wire and get the early, you basically have priority on the waiver wire that allows you to get some of the better players. And in the first couple weeks, that's where you get those players. So if they start out that way and they haven't picked up people, it's because they suck and they're never going to care. Or another way to do it is if you create some small keeper league, you do it, you know, maybe two or three players where you keep every year and you lose the round they were drafted in. And what that does is it allows people to trade for people off your team to get you more draft picks for the next year. Or you're going to be paying attention to the waiver wire to grab players that you can keep for, you know, a six, whatever your last round is, that's someone picked up off the waiver wire. That's what they should count as. So you might have, you know, gotten someone like DJ Chark for a 16th round pick this year if you were absolutely out of it. So That's like the only thing I could think of. But again, if they just suck and they really don't care, there's no way to keep them interested.
I've got three things in mind here, okay? Number one, if somebody doesn't set their lineup twice in a season, let them know before the season starts. If you don't set your lineup twice, you're kicked out of the league. You're not invited back next year. I don't care if it's your best friend. If you're ruining my fantasy football league, screw you, right?
Yep, I'm with that.
All right, number two, you can make it so that there is a weekly prize bonus. Whoever has the highest single score for each week gets a bonus. So I don't know how much your league entry fees are. If you're giving out $20 for the best single week in week one, the best single week in week two, when you get to week 12 and somebody's team sucks, guess what? They're going to go for that $20, right? And if it's a more expensive league, they're going to go for that $150.
That's true. And I also wanted to add on to that, Bobby, for some people that might have like scoffed at the idea of not setting your lineup. Maybe they have so many things going on in their life and emergencies come up. I get that stuff. But with Fantasy Pros, you actually have no excuse to not use our autopilot feature. It's part of my playbook. Like, I use it. I play in 17 different leagues. So therefore, I'm able to set up on autopilot. And if I'm doing a live stream, if I'm responding to some, if I'm setting DFS lineups, I totally forget about one of my teams. It automatically swaps the players out for me that are inactive. So there is no excuse. So no.
You know, I really realized that I needed this when I was at church one Sunday afternoon and Aaron Foster had one of his like, you know, I'm a vegetarian, so my body's falling apart type of injuries. And he just didn't even play. And nobody, he wasn't even questionable. And I started him because of that. That's when I realized we needed the autopilot feature. And it is amazing, man. I never have to worry about it when I'm at church on Sundays anymore. And the final thing is, this is something that I do in the free market powers league that I do. But I think it could be expanded. You don't have to use all that other weird stuff from that league. But the winner of week 13, the best single score from week 13 gets the sixth seed. It leaves everybody paying attention and playing for that week. And it is so much fun seeing eight teams just scramble for that last spot.
Oh, that would drive me nuts. If you were like the sixth place team with the most points in the league and you didn't get into the playoffs because of that, that would drive me bananas.
All right, here's the next one. We'll keep rolling with football here for a second. This runs from Omega King 1414. How do y'all value picks and future picks? Like, what's the value of a 2020 first to a 2021 first, Tex?
You know, I'm really glad you asked that. It's an article I do every single year.
I picked this one because I knew that you had a perfect article answer for it.
Yes. I'm basically, so every year I put out what is a rookie draft pick actually worth in dynasty formats, because people don't know that. And people will argue with me till they're blue in the face saying, oh, Saquon Barkley's worth more than this, your chart says. And I'm like, we're not talking about generational players. We're talking about what is the average output that you get from someone drafted, a top three pick, a top six, top nine, top 12. You would be shocked to learn just how bad an early second round draft pick is worth in dynasty. People treat them like they're value commodities. They're really not. You know, when people throw a third round pick in for me, it does almost nothing for me, depending on how deep the league is. But basically, it's an article that you'll check out. I put it out every single year. I think I'm going to be putting that one out next month because we're going to have rookie drafts coming in the end of April, beginning of May. So that will definitely be up on the website. So make sure you check it out on fantasypros.com or just follow on Twitter. I always post my articles on there at Mike Taglier NFL. And you can check out my past ones. If you were to type into Google and just type in what is a draft pick actually worth in dynasty football, it'll pop up. I'm sure it's one of the top articles there and you could check it out. I do the research so that you guys don't have to.
Tags, I have nothing to add to that answer. That was perfect, man. Okay, let's go to the next one. This one's from Artie Warren on Twitter. Which coaching hire has you the most excited for fantasy and why?
You know what? This one is like, I don't really know if I'm excited about any.
Right. I didn't have an answer. I was hoping you would do it here.
I guess Stefanski would be my most excited because it's just not Freddie Kitchens. But outside of that, there's a whole lot of unknown here. So many things that we don't know about some of these coaches. So I guess I'll say Stefanski. He's an offensive-minded coach, and he's going to coach, you know, the Browns, who have an immense amount of talent. I would assume that they're going to get a left tackle with that first pick at number 10 that they have because they need that. But it's just a team that has so much talent that it was a shame to watch it go to waste. So I guess I'm just excited to see the Browns offense under a head coach that hopefully knows what he's doing, because I'm not really excited about Stefanski as a coach.
Regardless, it's a huge upgrade from Kitchens. Even if he's not that exciting, he's a big upgrade from Kitchens. And so
I don't think there's a downgrade from Kitchens, to be honest.
Exactly. You're exactly right. All right. This one's from GM1. What's yours and Mike Taglier NFL's opinion? That's, by the way, that's us on Twitter, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Taglier NFL. Give us a follow if you don't already. What's your opinion on a league voting to get rid of keepers during semifinal week. Oh, Tags, I think you know exactly how I feel about this one.
That made no sense. When I saw that one come through, I was like, is that really a question? Like, how does that even work? Why? Why would you eliminate keepers? Like, is there any logic behind that?
If you do it, you got to do it before the season so people aren't building their teams with keepers in mind.
It makes no sense to me. I don't get it. I didn't get that question. I'm sorry, but no, you don't change things.
No, you can't do that. That's the answer. You can't do that.
Correct.
All right. This one's from Ryan Goddard on Twitter. I love this one. If Miami drafts DeAndre Swift, like a lot of mock drafts are suggesting, what kind of success do you think he could have with a team like that?
I mean, he's a workhorse running back on a potentially bad team. So kind of look at it like Leonard Fournette is someone that you hope that he's going to get the work that Fournette does, where he may not be a league winner where he's going to finish as a top three running back, but you could probably pencil him for top 12 production if he walks into a situation like Miami and they don't add any other running backs, because Patrick Laird is not going to have a big impact. Kalen Ballage is dead to the world. So yeah, I would assume that he'd probably be in the low end RB1 conversation, part of a bad team, not going to win you a fantasy league, but also not going to lose it. Kind of like, just think of it like Le'Veon Bell last year.
Perfect. Dude, that's perfect. That is perfect.
I told people that we're drafting Le'Veon in the first round. I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? You can get Leonard Fournette in the third round. It's the same player. They're both on bad teams. They play behind bad offensive lines. Le'Veon Bell's was worse than Leonard Fournette's.
They're both good football players. They're both going to catch a lot of passes.
And they're both going to be locked into 18 to 20 touches per game. It's just like, you know, why? Why did you? I didn't understand it. So yeah, I wouldn't say Swift would be an RB1 like that you have to draft in the first or even second round. I mean, he's like probably like a late second round, early third round pick at that point.
All right. We're moving on to a food question. This one is from Jen Piacenti from Fantasy Alarm. And she actually asked like 5 food questions and they were all awesome. I'm going to pick one of them though, Tags. Okay. We are going to build the perfect smoothie. You get 3 fruits. Okay. What fruits are you putting in your fruit smoothie?
Strawberry.
Okay.
Banana.
So you're going bananas then. That's going to make Jen really upset.
Strawberries, bananas. I think that's it.
Just strawberries and bananas?
Yeah, I'm not going to put a third one there because they're trash. The rest are trash.
Fruit's trash?
I'm not a big fruit guy.
Oh, Tags.
I'm not a big vegetable guy either. I eat like a third grader. I'm not kidding. A bad third grader at that.
Okay. I'm going. See, the thing is you can't go pomegranates. Like, pomegranates are delicious, but you can't put pomegranates in a smoothie because it doesn't blend up well. So I'm going strawberries, I'm going blackberries, and kiwi. I don't know how well those 3 go together, but they're all awesome. So I'm going for it.
Yeah, I don't know how they go together either. I'm uncomfortable now.
Okay. Let's keep rolling. Let's see. We've got a couple more football questions here, and then we've got a totally outside-the-box question that's going to be a lot of fun as well.
I'm sure.
Yeah. What do you expect? This one's from Mario Robinson on Twitter. What do you expect in return in a 12-team super flex dynasty league trading away Lamar Jackson? Looking to rebuild with so many holes on my team. So, Tags, first let me ask you this. Super flex dynasty startup today. Where are you drafting Lamar Jackson?
He's a top 5 pick for sure.
I'm taking him number 1 overall.
I take Mahomes number 1.
Oh, you take Mahomes dynasty over Jackson just because he's going to probably be elite for longer?
Yeah, because the thing is, Lamar Jackson, I mean, they're both going to be elite for a few years at least.
Yeah, but don't you think Jackson is like a full 3 fantasy points per game better than Mahomes just because of his rushing? Like, that's a huge upgrade right now.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a slight upgrade right now. I'm going to have Lamar Jackson as my number 1 quarterback in redraft leagues, but it's not that much of a difference because I see, like, Mahomes taking a step forward in the touchdown department this year. You're going to see Lamar Jackson take a slight step back in terms of touchdown regression through the air. I don't think he's going to rush for 1,200 yards or whatever it was every single season, so it's kind of hit or miss. But yeah, he's definitely a top 5 pick. I would say it's some variation of Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Michael Thomas.
So yeah, I'm going Lamar Jackson number 1. And what would I sell the number 1 overall dynasty player for in a rebuild? I want a top 5 rookie pick. I also want a top 12 running back. Give me Nick Chubb or Josh Jacobs. And then give me one of these young wide receivers, a Deebo Samuel, a DJ Chark. If you can get me all 3 of those things, I'll trade you Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I would do that too. But that's the thing is, I hate doing trades like that because people want to continually say, "Hey, I'm giving you 4 players, bro." And I'm like, no, I don't want 4 players that are mediocre.
But the thing is, there's 12 teams in your league. One of them is going to be a sucker that pays you a ton.
I need at least 1 stud. And then on top of that, I'm going to need more, obviously, because I'm taking Lamar Jackson that high. So if you want to give me Lamar Jackson, like if I give you Lamar Jackson, you give me Amari Cooper, the 102 pick, and then a second round pick. That's when I'd probably start considering it or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Back in the day, I traded Saquon Barkley when I had the number one overall pick in our Dynasty Expert Draft, okay? I traded Saquon Barkley, and I got Christian McCaffrey, Chris Godwin, and Calvin Ridley. Now, that worked out because here's the thing. When you've got a number one Dynasty player, how did that work out for Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant, David Johnson, Todd Gurley? Tex, how'd that work out for those guys? How long were they the number one Dynasty player?
Not great. Not great. If you ever want to get depressed about Dynasty and like how smart you think you are, go back and look, or write down your rankings right now and then go back and look at it 3 or 4 years from now. Because if you go look at ADP from Dynasty 4 years ago, you're going to look at some of the names in there and be like, why? Believe me, it's not fun.
It's very ugly. So I want three good young values so that two of them work out. And I think that it, you know, in the end pays off. Let's see. We've got, let's take two more football questions here, Tags. EJW from Twitter. Way too early keeper question PPR, but it would be between Michael Thomas and Derrick Henry in the keeper round. Or do you roll the dice and go best player available? He's picking last because he's the champ again, just like most of our listeners, right, Tags?
You take Michael Thomas. That's not even...
Yeah, it's Michael Thomas over Henry.
Not even a question for me.
Especially in PPR, and that's not even close in my opinion.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, 100%.
All right, this one is from USC Crew Recruit. Should players who were drafted, dropped, then picked up off the wire have their keeper cost based on their original draft round or treated as a waiver wire pickup? I don't know what you're going to say on this one. I have an opinion, but...
They should be treated as a waiver wire pickup, 100%. And like, so here's the thing. When you drop someone to waivers, because some people might be like, well, they're trying to beat the system. No, because they can't. When you drop a player to waivers, you have to wait till they clear those waivers in order to pick them up again. So if I'm an owner and I'm like, well, I have this guy for a fifth round pick, and if I drop him, I could probably get him for a 16th or whatever. No, you can't do that, because if anybody in your league is paying attention, they're going to see that you dropped that guy and they're going to pick him up, because you're not allowed to pick up that player until they've cleared waivers. So it should be, if someone drops someone, you're letting them go at that keeper cost, and anybody that picks them up is going to get them for a waiver wire cost player. And that's part of the things with keepers. That's so fun. It's like you have to evaluate that. If you're like, oh, wow, when Hunter Henry, for example, like when he tore his ACL, you know, did you drop him? Did somebody pick him up off the waiver wire because they're like, you know what? I have room on my bench. I'm just going to stick him there and I'll save him for a 16th round next year. Those are realistic strategies, but you do have to sacrifice a bench slot to do it.
All right, Tex, we got one more football question. We're going to save that for last to end the show with a football question. This one's from my friend at Lone Cali GOP, and she's a riot, but she came up with a very thought-provoking question. Okay, you ready for this, Tex? If you could disinvent one thing, what would it be and why?
Oh, man, there's so many things that go through my mind when you ask that question. Like, the first thing that came to my mind was, like, cell phones, but I don't want to do that because it does affect my job now, and I don't want that to happen.
Right. It would be nice if smartphones were gone, but
yeah,
I also like mine.
I'm addicted to mine, and that's the part where it's like, I wish I wasn't, and I really do wish I was just sitting on a beach sometimes just without a phone. But if I had to give one answer, I'm going to go with makeup. I think makeup is the worst thing ever.
That is an awesome answer.
No, and there's people that are going to hate that, but the truth, the reality is like when you have a teenage daughter and you watch her grow up and you realize when they get into makeup and the reason they feel they need to wear it and like they need to look pretty, I'm like, you're beautiful as is. You don't need to put on makeup. And my wife, she doesn't wear makeup outside of like occasions where we go to like a wedding and, you know, that we have to do it. She has to do it for that. But it's like, appreciate someone's beauty. Like, and in fact, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Like, I don't wear makeup, but I have...
I don't know, man. You're pretty hunky, dude.
Well, I appreciate it, but I really hate what it does to people and how it forces people to put on... Like, my daughter the other day, she said something about... I put on concealer, and I'm like, do you understand the word? Like, do you understand what the word conceal means? Like, you are hiding something. You are concealing your face, and I don't like it. And unfortunately, it's something that's accepted as like, oh, you have to wear makeup. Even some of my wife's friends tell her she has to wear makeup, and she's like, no, I don't. Like, there's a reason her skin looks good now, because she's really just hasn't worn it.
That's awesome, man. I like Tabby so much. She's such a cool girl.
She's a rock star, that's for sure.
Yeah, she is a rock star, dude. You guys are perfect together. That was a really deep answer, Tags. I don't know what I was expecting, but you really raised the bar, and now I'm just gonna have to crush it.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So my first thought, obviously, I mean, you know me, was to take this politically, but we don't go there on the podcast. We don't go there on Twitter. That's not why you guys listen to the show. I guess you listen to the show for football, but here we are doing an outside the box question. Then I got to thinking, Tex, anything that has already been invented became popular because there was a need for it or a want for it. If I uninvented it, the need or want would still remain, right? So surely someone would eventually invent it again. So you can't get rid of something bad forever. So instead, what I'm going to do because I'm going to hijack an invention to be my own. Listen to this, okay? Now, it has to be something I can actually create, because I can't be like, oh, hey, guys, look, I came up with this thing called a rocket chip and just get super rich. So you guys know me, okay? You know where this is going. I'm going to uninvent pizza. That way I can invent pizza. I mean, I'm already a really big deal, but can you imagine, Tags, if I invented pizza?
I'm already kind of a big deal.
Dude, I'd basically be Harry Potter.
I'm already kind of a big deal, but could you imagine if I had invented pizza? I don't know, though, because the thing is like, do you know the person that actually invented pizza?
Well, no, but if it happened in 2020, everybody would know me, man.
That's probably true. People, yes, people learn things, but then someone else would take credit for it. They just steal it from whatever you posted on social media and they just take credit for it.
I would wrestle them.
Yeah, you would need to like organize something mass media like all at once so that it all just comes out so that people can't say it's theirs.
All right, you ready for the last football question, dude?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So we're getting rid of makeup and we're getting rid of pizza, just temporarily.
I'm not getting rid of pizza ever.
Okay, this one is from Dane Evers on Twitter. What are your thoughts on timers for people to make their picks in a live draft? Not like on the computer, but live, like in a garage with all your buddies and a keg of beer.
This is something that happens every year in my home league as we argue about it because...
This is why you have to do live drafts. It is the most fun.
Yes, I love live drafts, and I'm one of those people that will dedicate the day to it. Where like I tell everybody I'm not doing anything else. I have no other plans. But there's some people that are part of leagues that don't do that, unfortunately. And you know, we have to respect that, and the fact that they might have something else. They may have kids they have to get home to take care of, whatever. So I try and be mindful of that, being the commissioner of that league. So I tell people, I'm like, you know, I'll give them a couple minutes, but it's like if you're taking more than like 2 or 3 minutes, or I'll even say 5 minutes, because I'm usually pretty generous with it, but I'm like, all right, come on, like we got to keep moving, otherwise like we're never going to get through this round. And at some point it's a commissioner's call, really, but it just depends on your league, to be honest with you. I don't have a timer watch. It's just more on feel and saying, all right, come on, like make a pick.
You got to use discernment, right? You're in charge. You decide, hey, it's been way too long. We actually have this too. It's called the Ryan Painter rule. As you can guess, I have a friend named Ryan Painter. In fact, he's my best friend. He's awesome. And Ryan Painter, we were playing Axis and Allies. Axis and Allies is like Risk on steroids. Like 50 minutes later, he's like, all right, guys, I'm ready to make my moves. Like we had to make a rule to prevent him from doing this. And so it's just, all right, I'm in charge. This is my game. When I say you need to go, you better freaking go, because we're not waiting here all night for you, Ryan Painter. He's a Bears fan, by the way.
Oh, man. But that ideally, everybody blocks out the day and you just have all day and you don't have to worry about stuff like that. But I will say last year, in the middle of my live draft, is when Andrew Luck retired. And someone in that league had picked him like 2 spots prior.
Oh, man.
Because we had a TV out there on the, like, it was, we're drafting out on like a deck. And we had a TV out there and we let them reverse that pick because we just didn't feel like it was right. But if you take your time, there might be injuries, because you're usually doing that during a preseason week, like preseason week 3, preseason week 4. And if someone has an injury, it's like, if the longer you stay on a clock, the longer there's a chance that you learn about information. So it's like, the idea is to do it live so that nobody has that advantage. And, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. All right, Dags, that's all for today's show, man. Fun listener mailbag. I like the buy-sell segment as well.
It was fun. I like this episode a lot more than I even thought I was going to. So, yeah, good times.
And you don't even sound sick anymore. Did we heal you on this podcast?
I'm going to go hack up something after this. It's going to be real gross.
Yeah, dude. It was the fruit smoothie that healed you, wasn't it?
Maybe. I had to start thinking about fruit. Maybe I should have more of that.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. I do want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Bespoke Post. Guys, get your Box of Awesome so you smell super hunky like me. Go to boxofawesome.com, enter the promo code FANTASYPROS at checkout, and you're going to get 20% off your first monthly box. And that's boxofawesome.com, code FANTASYPROS. And also go to pristineauction.com. Thanks to Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's show, and also my home office, basically, because it is filled with stuff from Pristine Auction. Guys, when you go there, sign up. It's free to sign up. Enter the registration code FANTASYPROS, all one word. It's going to get you $5 off, and you're definitely going to be able to find a great value on something guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources at pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. All right, for Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve. I don't even know how the chemistry works.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, I love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.